Hey everyone, welcome to In Focus. This week we have a special guest who's going to be talking about all things wedding photography. So let's get right to it. Hey everyone, welcome to In Focus with Adam Goldberg Photography and Joseph Roybal Photography. Today we have a special guest who is going to be talking about all things wedding photography, so pretty excited about that. Before we do, Joe, how's it going, man?
Good, dude. Going well. Recovering out here in Denver after a crazy storm yesterday. Took out the power in my neighborhood for like 6.5 hours.
Wow.
So... just like, you know, there was like a little goat blowing down the street and a branch and like, you know, a cat flew by. It was like 70 mile an hour winds. It was insane.
That's nuts.
But then it was like right after, 15 minutes later, it was like the sun was out. Like, hello, Colorado.
Yeah.
So anyway.
That reminds me. Reminds me of the good old days in Colorado. Well, I got a haircut. That's my big news. 3 months of quarantine and finally got a haircut. So I feel pretty good about it.
You did?
I feel like I'm looking good this week. What do you think?
Yeah. And you flexed before we got going here. And I was like, dang, Adam's got some guns. Yeah, dude.
Been working out too. It's been good. But anyways, well, let's get into it. So
we have
Michael Casera, who is one of the premier wedding and engagement portrait photographers on Long Island. So we are super excited to have you here. Michael, welcome.
Thanks, guys. It's my pleasure to be out here.
Good. How are things going?
Well, you know, just another day in quarantine. Being in New York, it's, you know, nothing is as open as the rest of the country. So we're still kind of a little bit more isolated than most, but starting to get back into the swing of things with shoots and little elopements, small certain things, you know, we're allowed to have 10 or more people or 10 or less people, I should say,
in
a gathering. So it's getting to be a little better.
Good. Nice. Yeah. Well, you know, and here in Georgia, we can kind of do whatever we want. We were the last to close and the first to open.
I'm jealous that you got a haircut. I'm not going to lie, because I'm 3 months without a haircut and it's just,
it looks pretty good.
It's killing me. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. It's like, it's over here. It's all over the place.
Joe's hiding it with a hat. That's actually pretty smart.
I just go hat.
I normally go hat. I didn't know if it was appropriate for this video podcast. So
it's fine. For hopefully what will be more than 10 people watching this one, will, you know, it'll be good. All right. So let's get into it. I have to say that I'm excited to have you on because wedding photography scares the shit out of me. The idea of having 1 second to capture somebody's most important day of their life up to that point, most likely. It scares the shit out of me. So
it's intimidating. It's intimidating.
Yeah. So I'm excited to hear all of your insight here. So I guess kind of how'd you get into wedding photography?
That's a good question. So I didn't really, you know, no one ever plans to be a wedding photographer. That's straight up. And when you're going into photography, I want to be a landscape photographer. I want to be a portrait photographer. I want to shoot magazine covers, all this stuff. Tell me anybody when they're 18 years old or they're 20 years old and they're in college or they're, you know, charting a career path. They're like, I want to be a wedding photographer. Nobody fucking says that. I'm sorry. Like, I'm good with cursing on this
one. Yeah, you're good.
Okay. I'm from New York, so I absolutely sling it sometimes. So I have to watch myself.
Yeah, I trust you more now, actually, because you swore.
But no one ever says they want to be a wedding photographer. It's definitely something I stumbled into. So I. After college, I graduated college in 2009, and right into the Great Recession. It was horrible. Couldn't find a job, everything like that. I ironically got a job in North Carolina. So I went down to North Carolina, got a job for a year as a director of photography, shot documentaries, corporate documentaries. But always kind of got into photography. I picked up a Mark II. That's when the Mark II came out. I think the Mark II came out a year before, but I remember seeing the the video from Vincent LaFerre that had, I think it was Revere, that had the awesome, you know, 1080p like quality from the Mark II, and it was like, well, the beautiful. Mark II,
when it came out, was nuts. Like that,
it was awesome, man. Yeah. It was such a good. It's still a good camera. I mean, you could still use a Mark II, but I originally bought the Mark II for video, and I had a Rebel before that. Like, but as I started using the Mark II for video, I discovered the still side of it. Like I minored in photography, but I dabbled in it. It wasn't something that I was serious in. I was more on the video side. But as I started to use Mark II and take photos of friends and family and my girlfriend, who's now my wife, I was really falling in love with the still side of it. I had a 51.4, Canon 51.4, oh, nice. And you know, the bokeh on that is buttery smooth. So just shooting with that wide open, like had no idea like what I was, I was just like, oh yeah, I want that shallow depth of field. It started getting me into it, portraiture. And then when I left my job in North Carolina, I couldn't deal with North Carolina. It's very slow. Like for a New Yorker being down there, it's very slow pace. And the job wasn't really for me. So I came back home and I was out of work for, I'd say, 6, 7, 8 months. Couldn't find work. And my mom knew somebody that owned a wedding studio. She's like, my son's a photographer, blah, blah, blah. Like, so I gave my portfolio that was mainly portrait photos. And he's like, yeah, you could like second shoot. And it was like this cheap studio, really didn't have like low level clients. Like what I would say, like budget bride, like I call them budget brides. Like that's a thing here. Like you just, you know, you want a wedding under $5,000, like, you know, kind of thing. That started me kind of into it. I actually started enjoying it and shooting and, you know, I was second shooting and learning or assisting, lighting assisting. It wasn't until I got into working for this bigger studio, that they're very well known. I mean, they do $1 million weddings. They do, like their sweet 16s and bar mitzvahs are unbelievable. Like, I mean, like I shot a bar mitzvah at Citi Field, like where the Mets play. Like they rented Citi Field. Like David Crazy. Wright came on the Jumbotron and was like, you know, Mazel Tov, Kimmy. Like, you know, like I was just like, what is going on? You know, and so that kind of introduced me into it. But it was always a side thing. Like I really liked it. It was like a side hustle kind of thing. I worked for like, that's how Adam and I met. I worked for the Tiffin Company for 8 years. And so photography was my side hustle. Like I just had fun doing it. And those two kind of studios kind of got me into my first client. Like I just remember my first client finding me. And I think they found my website just Googling. I really lucky. And they were like, you know, we really like your work. Like we see you have a lot of wedding stuff. Like I had a lot of engagement stuff or like couples mm-hmm. and stuff along those lines, but never had shot a wedding. Like for myself, like I couldn't show studio work because it didn't belong to me. So it was more like, yeah, I shot some wedding stuff here. Like, here you go. Like I had shot like 50 weddings as a second at that point, but I couldn't show anything. So I had to like hand them it like and attach it to an email.
Yeah.
So they took a shot at me, man. And the rest is history. And then I started steamrolling and it's kind of fun.
Really? That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
Dude. Yeah. I mean, it sounds similar to, I think, how a lot of photographers start out is that photography is kind of a side hustle. And then you get mm-hmm. to the point where you're like, I could do this full time and make it work.
Yeah. I wasn't open to it for a long time. And I had a choice, like, you know, which path are you going to go down? And, you know, there's that entrepreneurial path that kind of just intrigues people. Like, you know, it's scary. There's a risk there. You know, taking that risk is a big thing, especially when I had a very secure job. Like I actually really loved my job. I was really into it. It was a cool job, but there was something that kept bringing me back to photography and I really enjoyed doing it. And I really liked the interaction with my clients, my couples. Like you really get to know them. Like a wedding photographer is the only vendor out of any vendor that you will work with on a wedding day. I don't care if it's like you're shooting small elopements in Colorado or you're shooting, you know, 300 to 400 person weddings in New York, it's still the same. Right. You still have the same type of vendors. You're still working with a photographer, a videographer, a band or a DJ, a florist, all of the above. But the photographer is the only one that will work with you before the wedding, during the wedding, and then after the wedding. Because they're interacting with you before, they're meeting with you beforehand, they may shoot your engagement session or a pre-photo session, something like that, maybe your rehearsal dinner. Then obviously they're the day of the wedding, and then editing the photos after the fact, delivering the albums and anything along those lines. So you really have to have a good connection with a wedding photographer. There's no way around it. Like you could hire a big ass studio or whatever, but you don't get that same interaction. And I really got to invest in my couples through, you know, just interacting with them, emails, video chats, in-person meetings, and like engagement sessions. And then you get so emotionally invested into these people, like you're up there capturing their day. It's the biggest day of their life. So you better not fuck it up, number one. Number two.
That's why I said it scares the shit out of me at the beginning of this. Yeah,
it's like, don't fuck that up, man. Don't miss that shot. But it's you're there as almost a guest with a camera. Like you get to know them so well, you become a guest with a camera. And that's how I feel at every wedding that I go to. Like I get emotionally invested into my couples to the point where I thoroughly, like I just shot an elopement this weekend. I was so freaking happy for them that they got married and they kept their original day. They eloped and everything like that. And it was awesome. And I got like choked up for a minute. Like it's a beautiful moment in people's lives. And I take it as a great honor that I get to capture those moments.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I could, that I was going to ask you this later or whenever, I guess it kind of popped up, but you know, like you just said, you kind of got a little choked up. So I was going to ask you, like, you know, you're getting attached to all these couples all the time. Have you gotten to the point where like, do you cry? Have you cried at times, like behind, you know, get misty-eyed or whatever? Does that happen for you?
I've never cried at a wedding. I have seen super emotional moments that like, like as a dude, and I'm like, yeah, macho dude, all this stuff. Like I get emotional. Like I've had, you know, very sick moms dancing with their sons. It could be the last time they, you know, have that moment. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. But like at the same time, I'm very much, you know, in the work mode. Like, so you put your blinders on and you're in the moment and you're just capturing the moment. But I think there are times where I've honestly put the camera down and let them have that moment, you know, and I'll capture it. And don't get me wrong, like they'll get those photos, but there's sometimes those moments too good to capture. And you could, just, as a person, you take a step back. And while I haven't cried, at a moment or anything like that, I have gotten emotional to the point where I'm like, like, damn it, man, who's cutting onions around here? I'm close to it.
I think that is something kind of unique about, like you said, you know, wedding photography, is that there is that emotional connection to your client or your subject that there isn't in a lot of other genres of photography. I mean, you can say a landscape is beautiful, a building is beautiful. If you're a photojournalist or something, I mean, you can capture a pretty incredible moment, you know, when you're out and about doing your thing. But like you said, you, with wedding photography, you just have such that connection with the people because you met with them beforehand, and it's such a emotional and wonderful day, that I would imagine that, you know, it is kind of pretty cool to be a part of that day and that event.
It's the coolest. I think the coolest thing about photography, and I you know, the Adam, we've known each other for years now, and like I love his I love your landscape photos, but you know, going to Yosemite and sitting, like I'm wearing a Yosemite shirt right now, going to Yosemite and like seeing, you know, tunnel view for the first time, that's an emotional connection, like, right? Like that's something I'll never forget, like, you know, seeing that. But it's a different connection than actually dealing and interacting with people and seeing people and you know, connecting with them through the biggest, best day of their life. It's just a different form. It's a different connection. Like I almost can't describe it other than that, you know, it's so personal that you get to the point where you're like you want to be friends with them after the fact. And I have maintained a lot of the relationships with my clients after the fact. Like I'll meet for beers and drinks, and like, you know, they'll come to my house for just to chill out or a barbecue. You know, it's
awesome.
That it's really cool. Great. And I've shot 75 of them, so I'm up there right now.
That's awesome. Nice.
So speaking of that, I would imagine that Long Island, New York area is pretty saturated with individuals wanting to be wedding photographers. Can you talk about how to be successful in, I would say, you know, a saturated market, and then maybe one that isn't so saturated, if you can provide any insight into that as well?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Long Island is, I call it the Mecca of wedding photographers. Like, it is, if you want to get married on Long Island or in New York, it's expensive, number one. The average cost of a wedding is $50,000 here on Long Island. It is very expensive. Like, and there's a lot of venues here. There's vineyards, wineries, what's it called? Breweries, unique places, catering hall, the generic catering halls, country clubs, you name it, yacht clubs. There's so many. So to stand out in this market, like, you do have to, like, while it, there's so many places to shoot, there are a lot of, there's a lot of competitors. And it, ironically, I don't look at my competition as competition. We are actually, I consider the independent photographers of Long Island, a lot of them, as friends. Like, we've become very close. And when I first started, I took the approach of, you know, they're my competition. I can't interact with them. I can't talk with them. You know, I have to be better prices. I have to deliver a better product, things along those lines. But I will tell you, that is the first mistake you can make as a new photographer stepping into the field, into the wedding industry. Don't make that mistake, because what will happen is you will isolate yourself from the rest of the community. And what's great about it is there is so many weddings here in this oversaturated market to go around. Like, I think on average here on Long Island, there's like 200 weddings a day on a, like, from in the New York area. It's crazy to think about that. So that if there's 200 weddings, right, that's 200 spots that we need to fill. That's for the wedding photographers of the industry. That's a lot. That's a lot to cover. So if I'm booked on a day, I will recommend my friends. And if they're booked, they recommend me. I'd say 65 to 70% of my work, my referrals come from my friends, from vendors, from other wedding photographers. That is the one thing I will say, whether you're in a big community or a small community, you're in a, you know, like if you're in Colorado or a place that's like Wyoming and there's two photographers in the town, you know what? That other photographer is going to get booked on that day. Maybe there's another wedding in town that day. Who's going to shoot it? You know, if they go to that photographer who's a little bigger and they're booked already, who are they going to recommend? Yeah. They're going to recommend you. So get in with them and interact with them, and, you know, go out for coffee, go out for drinks, go out, like, and have that interaction. You're like-minded individuals, right? Like, you know, you don't have to compete at all. You could be a complementary force to one another. And that's what I always say to anybody stepping into the industry for the first time, and especially in an oversaturated industry, like, get into that community, bust through the door, like, say, hey, I'm here. I'm going to second shoot for you. I'm like, I'd love to hold your bag, you know, during a wedding, you know, and just get to know, because I've had a lot of shooters that have worked with me that now have successful businesses that have, you know, become mains, and I recommend them. I recommend them on jobs. So, you know, don't be afraid of that. And that's for anything. That is for small or big market.
Yeah. Well, you know, like that has been some, it's interesting you mentioned that, because in my line of work, you know, landscape work, it's totally different in that you're not like exactly trying to compete for or working with like weddings and events for a certain day. But, you know, I've found that you can still create a really good community within the landscape world, because it's like, hey, you know, I want, someone will reach out to a friend of mine, say, hey, I want to do a workshop this day with you, a private, but he already has something. And then referrals, like, hey, well, you know what? I know another guy that could like maybe work with you. And that's something that doesn't happen very often. And so it's awesome to hear that you say, and like kind of say like, yeah, that's a really good business approach. Okay. That's good. It's good. It's just good business, because like referrals, and it builds a community. Like, you probably are like tighter with these guys, like you said today. And they're probably like, some of these guys that used to be like your competitors are probably some of your like good friends.
It's funny, but like, I consider a lot of them friends, and
yeah,
we, before the pandemic hit, one of them put together a house party. Like, we all got together, think there was like 15 to 20 of us. We were all just like, we're bullshitting, like getting ready for the season, you know, because like our season was going to start. Yeah, that's funny. That it really started. But we were all going to like start our season. We were all getting pumped and like, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, what's your, you know, what are you editing in? And like, you know, have you tried any new cameras or, you know, any new lenses or anything? Everyone was pumped for the R5. Yeah, I'm not buying the R5 anytime soon. But, you know, like stuff like that. Like, we're all pumped about, you know, the season, and we get together and we have a good time and we drink and we're like, okay, it's cool. It's really cool to, like, you know, you guys work individually, right? Like, you work out of your homes or offices or whatever. Same thing with wedding photographers, like, that are independent. Like, we work, you know, individually. So we don't have coworkers. We don't have that, like, happy hour, you know, or, you know, you go out for drinks after a long week of work. Like, so you got to find yourself some like-minded individuals. But my wife is tired of me, you know, chewing her ear off about, you know, the latest camera or tech. So, you know, find yourself a like-minded individual that you can chat with about that stuff.
Yeah, no, and yeah, exactly, like us, exactly, yeah, on podcasts exactly. Like this. I mean, I love that phrase, like, look at the competition not as competition, because mm-hmm. I think that does apply, and as Joe, you were kind of hinting too, it applies across so many different genres or niches of photography, whether it's wedding photography, landscape photography, architectural photography. You never know who or where your next job could potentially come from, so being in with the community is so important. And if you're good and you do good work, people are going to refer you and hire you no matter how saturated the market is, because there's going to be a need at some point. They're going to find you on your website, or like I said, you're going to be referred and they're going to look at your stuff and be like, wow, this guy's good. I'm going to give, or gal, and I'm going to give this person a try. Mm-hmm. So I really kind of like that phrase that you used.
Yeah, you know, it's a good way to look at it. The other is this Instagram, man. It is still powerful. Yeah. You know, you want to get your name out there. Instagram is key. Figure out hashtags, figure out the way to, you know, geotag and get into locations and, you know, interact with other photographers in the community. That's another way to do it, is, you know, like their posts, comment on their posts, like get to know them through Instagram. That's how I met most of my friends who are photographers, is Instagram. That's how Adam and I met, is Instagram.
On the wedding side, I'm going to say brides for the most part, because it's usually, I feel like, the bride who is doing a lot of that research.
Are they
going on Instagram and typing in like Long Island wedding photographer? And
oh, hell yeah, man.
They
hell,
are.
Okay. Oh, hell yeah. It's crazy. I just looked at my demographic today. And what's it called? What was it? It was 70. My followers, 78% female. Okay. Like that's, and I'm a dude. So I'm like, wow. Okay. It's a lot of brides following me. That's a lot of brides. So I got to, you know, hit that demographic and everything like that, but they use it and they use those tags. I will tell you, I had she's a very well-known Long Islander. I'm not going to give any names away or anything like that. On reality television, all that stuff. She found me from the hashtag Long Island Wedding.
Nice.
Like all of a sudden I got a blue check mark person, you know, messaging me on Instagram, DMing me on Instagram, you know, 20 minutes later we had a session set up, and 2 weeks later we were shooting her session. So, I mean,
awesome.
And she's got almost 300,000 followers. So I'm like, with, you know, a lot of like interaction and everything like that. So I'm like, use Instagram to your advantage. The hashtags do work still to this day, even with the algorithm, even with everything going on where it silences your engagement with your followers. You know, if you're into it, pay for an ad, you know, boost your post, especially if you're starting out, like put a little money behind it, man. Like, you know, you got a business credit card, it's a write-off, you know, business advertising, write it off, put a little money into it. It's easy to do. But I feel like a lot of people get intimidated by Instagram because they're like, it is oversaturated, right? Like, we're, you know, like how many wedding landscape, you know, portrait photographers are on there? Everybody. Yeah. But if you use it to your advantage and you target key things, like I target I only want to shoot Long Island weddings. I don't want to shoot California weddings. I don't want to shoot destination weddings. And don't get me wrong, if I could shoot one, that's cool. But I don't advertise to that. That's not my thing. Like, if I could shoot at a venue that's 20 minutes from my house, I'm 34. I freaking love that. I want to come home at like midnight and crash. I'm done. Like, you work a 12-hour day, I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to be like, you know, like driving 3.5-4 hours, or, you know, sleeping in a hotel for 2 nights or something like that anymore. I'm burnt out from that stuff. So, you know, if you target those key areas with Instagram and hashtag and just like location tagging and everything along those lines, you will see business from it. I guarantee it. Even if you don't feel like you have a following, you'll see it.
Yeah. That's great. I think that kind of ties into maybe the next question I had is, so for someone who's listening or watching and is just starting out, what would kind of be your kind of top couple tips of, here's the best ways to get your name out there and start to get some business and grow your business into a successful photography business like you have?
It's almost like the topics we covered, which is ironically enough, it's, you know, finding a community, getting in with them. It's Instagram, learning that. It is, you know, the little sides, the business stuff that people don't think about. Like, I'm going to automatically assume people listening are photographers. Like, you know, find your style is another thing. Okay. A lot of people don't know how to find their style. It took me years to figure out like what I wanted my images to look like. You find that look, find that feel, find that, like, you know, that what your edits, like, get that all sorted first. You know, what defines, you know, Adam Goldberg photography? What defines Joe Roybal photography? What defines that look, right? Like Michael Cassara photography. So I have a look. I'm a little moodier. I'm one of the only like Long Island photographers that have a moodier look to them. Like, most of the photographers in this area have a little bit of a lighter and airier look, whereas I'm a little darker, a little moodier. Like, you know, I'm a little more rustic. So people tend to flock to that, that don't want that light and airy style. So if you find something, find your look first and foremost. That is the number one tip I will give somebody. Whether it's through, like, find a preset that you like, find another photographer that you want to emulate, but in all honesty, be yourself. That's the number one thing. I was trying to emulate so many photographers for, I'd say, the first 2 to 3 years of my career. And then I realized I'm in a unique market. I'm not in Seattle. I'm not in, you know, Idaho. I'm not in, what's it called? California. I'm on the East Coast. I'm an East Coast photographer. Like, this is, it's a different market. I don't have like Rattlesnake Ridge, and I don't have Cannon Beach, Oregon. And I don't have these places that are so picturesque and scenic. So what's going to define me, you know, as a photographer? What's going to define my look? So I found my look. I created my own preset. I probably bought around $200 worth of freaking presets in my life and couldn't find what I wanted until I made my own, you know?
That's awesome.
So I bet you see that on the landscape side all the time. Buying presets to try and emulate someone else's look.
I could imagine what you guys see, man. Like, you know, like the teal and orange look was big a couple of years ago. Like, everyone's trying to be like Peter McKinnon and shit. Like, I mean, come on, like, find yourself, like, first and foremost. You could have a look, you could have like a style you want to go after, like 13th Witness or something, like, you know, somebody big on Instagram. Like, you know, I really like his moody style and stuff, but make it your own. You know, don't try to be them. Don't shoot with the same, like, if they shoot with a, you know, a Sony a7 III, you know, and you go out and buy a Sony a7 III, you know, and you buy a 35, the same lens they're using, you're going to use it differently than they're using it. You know, who says you got to shoot at 1.4? You know, shoot at 1.8. Find the aperture that you like.
Right.
So just find your path. Like, that's what I tell people. Find your look, find your path. Like, get on that route. Find what you like to edit, like your style, what you like to shoot, what you like to edit. Like, I shoot all manual on my camera, right? Like, I shoot all prime lenses. I mainly shoot like I don't shoot auto white balance. I always white balance, like, for the scene, but usually I shoot like 7,000 Kelvin, sorry. So it's like a warmer look and stuff like that. So, you know, and like, I showed that to another photographer and they were like, like, wait, you don't go off auto white balance? I'm like, no, I shoot my own white balance. Cause then when I take it in a post, that's like, it has a look right out of the gate and I can just apply my preset, the one I designed for myself. And I know it's going to look fucking awesome.
That's so awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, I love this here. You're talking about your style. Cause that's one thing I noticed and I loved about it. Like, you know, looking at your work and how you said that you shoot or you edit to the season a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to that? Because I thought that was rad. Because like you don't see that very often, and I've done a couple weddings here and there, and I've kind of been inspired by the area. You know, friends will say, "Hey, will you do this?" Because I'm not a wedding person. Mm-hmm. But when I edit, I'm like, "All right, I'm shooting a California wedding. I think of California as like yellow, like bright and airy, and you know, fresh and cool."
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, and so speak to that because I saw that on your site and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Oh no. Thanks, Joe. So when I say like I edit to the season, I edit to the scene, it's true because I shoot Long Island is four seasons. Okay. Like spring, summer, winter, fall. Like that's, you have them all. I've shot most of my weddings are spring, summer, fall. Like I rarely shoot a winter wedding, but I have, you know, shot quite a few, but the weddings that are in the spring and summer tend to take on a lighter tone, it's just the way the light hits here. Things are a little brighter, like the colors are starting to come in. And depending on the venue, like if I'm shooting a venue that is one of my favorites is to shoot on the beach. Okay. The beach is, it's white sand. It's bright. It's light. It's airy. Okay. But I'll still like have my look to it when I edit it. Like it still has a darker tone to it, but it still has a brighter overall look because it's white and blue, you know, like your colors kind of come into play. Blue sky, white sand. So you bring in white dress usually, like most beach weddings, like even the groom wears white. So you're dealing with those lighter palettes. Whereas you go into the fall or the winter and you're in the rustic textures, you're in, you know, like, you know, foliage and oranges and stuff like that, like greens. And you really have those earth tones kind of come out. So, and the light's not the same, you know.
Right.
It really isn't. Like the sun sets at a different position. Things look a little differently. So my summer photos, while they are consistent with Michael Cassara Photography's look and feel, my summer photos will look slightly different than my fall because, you know, you have bright and airy, a little more moodier in the fall. So like, you know, bright and airy in the summer, a little moodier in the fall. But they still have my look. They still have my feel. They still have, you know, you still know those are my images. And that's what I tell everybody. Like, don't, you know, slap a different preset on it because it's the summer or, you know, fall. Do you, regardless of what season it is, you know, but just your look might look a little different in that time of year.
Right. Yeah. Seeing that on your site too. People can see that if they visit your website, you know, it's evident.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate it.
So what are you shooting with these days? How important do you feel gear is to wedding photography? I mean, I know it's for landscape photography and architectural photography. I mean, you can spend a fortune to get all of the right specialized lenses and cameras and everything that you need and light, especially in the architecture side. But, you know, especially when you're just starting out, that can certainly be a challenge. So, you know, on the gear side, what are you shooting with and kind of what's your thought on gear on the wedding photography side?
Oh, I love gear questions.
Let's keep this somewhat short then.
I'm a gigantic nerd when it comes to gear. So I love gear questions, but I will tell everybody, like I use Canon. I'm a Canon shooter. I've been a Canon shooter my whole life. A 5D Mark IV is my main body. 5D Mark III is my secondary. I carry three bodies to every wedding. I'm super redundant with everything. So, with weddings, like if you're going to a job, you should always have a backup. I have two backups. So that's how I kind of rely on things. My 5D4 like, and my 5D3 live on, I have a hold fast harness. So it's a camera strap. Mm-hmm. I wear two cameras at once. Usually two prime lenses on each, a 50 and a 35. Or usually a 35 and my 135. It depends on the situation. Okay. I have four lenses in my bag that I really use. My Sigma 50 is my bread and butter, Sigma Art. I got a Canon 35, 1.4, the L series. I have the Sigma 24 to 35 really gets used now, F2.0. It's a little slow, it's a little heavy, but it's great if you need it, a 24 in a pinch. It's sometimes, I'm going to get the Sigma 24 Art because it's just, I love having a 24. And then the 135. I don't own any, like, while the 24 to 35 is a zoom, I don't feel like it's a zoom and I hardly use it. So I tend to keep prime lenses. They're faster, they're quicker, better bokeh. And they just have a unique crispness to it that it just feels nice. That feels like my look. But say 85% of my images are captured on the Sigma 50 Art. Been that way for the last 4 years. So Canon flashes, speed lights, I got three of them. Use them for room lights, use them on camera. I use video lights, that's what's lighting me up right now, for like room lights as well. Like I always like using video lights. I come from a film and television background, so I always like constant lights. They kind of give you a different look than flash. And they kind of, now constant lights are so nice because you could either be RGB or they could be daylight tungsten, and you could kind of move around them, and they're really nice. And in all honesty, like I don't even pull my flashes out unless I'm on a reception dance floor much anymore. Cause I'll just throw my, what's it called? My hot lights, my constant lights on and just use those. But yeah, carry everything Pelicans. Can't go wrong with a good Pelican case. But that's pretty much, the bread and butter, everything. Get a lot of extra batteries. I always tell people, like, you guys are landscape shooters, you run through batteries quick. I have about like 7 to 8 batteries. But I will tell everybody this, like, it's not really about gear. You could have shitty gear and still be a good shooter. I've seen all those YouTube videos that, like, professionals using like toy cameras and they're still taking like shots that you could sell, to magazines. Beautiful. I will tell you this, though. If you want to break into weddings, you need two cameras. And you need, those two cameras need to have dual card slots. That is non-negotiable. I will not hire you unless you have a camera with dual card slots. One, because it's a redundant backup. You're shooting raw to both. Like, if one fails, the other one's backing it up. You need that in life. It's also because you're going to give me one of those cards at the end of the night, and I'm going to import them onto my computer and we're going to go our separate ways kind of thing. And then I'm going to send you back the cards. So having those backups like is key. And like, I always tell my seconds, hang on to those backups for like a week before, when I upload them to 18 different places and whatnot. But I will not take you seriously unless you have a camera with dual card slots. Like just that's pretty much first and foremost. And then, at least 1 to 2 lenses, you could survive. I've had seconds have one lens. They use just like, I've had one second, he was starting off. He had a 5D Mark III with a Canon 35 F1.4 art, what's it called? L series. And he was freaking awesome, man. Like he just knew that 35. He was like a photojournalist moving in and out. Like you almost didn't even realize he didn't have a zoom, and he was very discreet about it and stuff like that. But I would say at least have two lenses, like a 30, like usually a wide and a telephoto. If you're starting off, a 35 and an 85 is a great combo. That is a great money combo if you're starting off. I don't even own an 85. I used to. I had the 85 1.2. God, I love that lens. I miss that lens so much. I sold that to go on my honeymoon. But I tell my wife that all the time.
Worth it.
Tell her like that's how much I love you.
Oh my God, I love that lens. Oh God, the optics on that. It was just slow as hell for weddings. But if you have a good 35 and an 85, I don't care if it's like, the middle range ones, even a nifty 50 from, like a $100 lens. I think everyone should have a 50 or a 35 or an 85. Like if you have one of those three or two of those three, bam, you're good. Yeah, you're stuck.
You go. That's good info. Seriously. Because a lot of people don't know that. They don't know. And just for people that are listening and that might not really have a good understanding of that, the 85 and the 35, between just those two, can you kind of speak to like which you would use what for?
Yeah. Like, 85 I'd use more for portraits, like bride and groom stuff, getting in tight, especially, if you have a moment or like, a dance floor moment where you want to get in a little tighter, it's a little bit more telephoto, compresses that background a little better. 35 is a little wider, so I'd use it for, you know, maybe like a landscape styled, you know, portrait, or use it for, you know, if I needed a little bit of wider angle on a dance floor or something like that. 35 isn't super wide, especially on full frame. I'm shooting, you know, on a full frame camera. So it is 35 millimeters. It's not compressed to 50 or anything like that with a crop sensor. Right. But I would say 35, I will use more often than not, like over an 85. Tend to like the look a little bit better. But between those two, you know, you're going to use the 35 for wider, you know, more, you know, more scenic shots, whereas the 85 is going to be tighter for more intimate stuff.
Perfect. That's awesome. That's good info for people.
Thanks.
You know, pick up. Yeah.
Yeah. No, thanks. Thanks for that. That's great. I guess I got one more question, I guess maybe before we close this out here. What was the most fun you had shooting a wedding or at a wedding?
Yeah. That was like the same question I had here. Was I was like, that's kind of what my question was going to be, is like, I had a favorite I do moment. Yeah. So I guess couple this, you know?
Shit, that's a great question. That is really, that's a good question. I've never gotten asked that question. Wow. Holy shit. Okay. So favorite moment, favorite wedding photography moment for me.
It didn't have to be when you're taking a picture. It could be open bar or something, you know?
So I would say, there were two weddings that really stood out in my mind. One was my second wedding ever as a photographer. I shot a same-sex wedding in New York. They had rented this beautiful estate in Greenport, which is just like on the North Fork of Long Island. Really cool, like backyard-style wedding, perfect conditions. I mean, golden hour light, just absolutely. And they were the nicest couple. I honestly felt like, and we're still friends to this day, like that was one of my favorite weddings of all time. It was just perfect. It was rustic. It was my style. It was, you know, the couple was kick-ass awesome. We had fun. Like, I got drunk after the fact, so that was even more fun. Like, you know, enjoyed
that's what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I stayed over with them. That was freaking great. But I would say, after I think back at everything, and maybe I'll score some brownie points with the wife on this one, but it's the God honest truth is, a few years ago, I shot a wedding on New Year's Eve in Washington, D.C. It was my friend from Tiffin's, her son's wedding. And, you know, went down there New Year's Eve, a couple of days before. My wife was my lighting assistant. That was like one of the first times she actually was my lighting assistant. We went down there. It was a cold day, New Year's Eve. We shot at the Kimpton Monaco Hotel in DC, which is this historic hotel. It's over 200 years old. And we did all their portraits in the hotel. And I'm a natural light styled shooter. So to have to use lighting the entire time was like such a challenge. And I used continuous lighting the whole time. My wife was my lighting assistant, and we crushed it as a team. Solo shooter, didn't have a second on that shoot. New Year's Eve, partied it up. They had a blast. Like, band was kick-ass, awesome. It was at this art gallery. The couple actually gave their own vows, because in Washington, D.C., you could actually marry each other, which I had no idea. So it was the most unique, awesome, intimate wedding I've ever shot, probably 120 people. Great wedding planner, Cherry Blossom Events in D.C., if anyone's listening, they are phenomenal. Band was awesome. They had all different stuff and games. I was like, it was the most unique wedding. And then, you know, to kiss my wife on New Year's Eve at midnight, you know, like after I got the shot of the, you know, the couple doing that was awesome. And having that kind of shared moment, that was like, that was really cool. That was probably to this day my favorite moment as a wedding photographer.
I like it.
That's cool. Awesome.
Thanks.
That is.
And are you saying that just because Sarah Casera was a part of it, or what?
In all honesty, that is my favorite moment. Like, in like, you know, to have your wife there and be able to like share your skill set with, you know, your spouse is really cool, because she doesn't really get to see me work. Like, when I go to a wedding, like, it's not like she gets to see me do my job. So
yeah.
She got to see me, you know, like in action, and she even said, like, she was like, that was so much fun. Like, I can see why you have so much fun at these things. And like, you know, I will say, like, if you work with your spouse, like, it can be probably a little tricky, Like if you work with them every day, but to work with mine for once was absolutely awesome. I had a blast. That was, I think the second time I'd worked with her, the first time was like when I was kind of starting off. So it wasn't, yeah. It wasn't like that kind of a scale of a wedding where it was like crazy and intense. And, you know, it was, this was a cool ass wedding and it was out of state. So that made it even better.
Awesome.
That is cool. Cool. Well, cool. I mean, yeah, you like with between like Adam's questions and like what I had here, I was ticking off the boxes of the stuff that I had pre-planned, but you know, I just love looking at your work here. Truthfully, it's awesome. And some of the stuff here looked almost like you might've used a drone to capture some overheads. I don't know.
I did. Yeah. I used to have a drone back in the day. I don't have one anymore. I will get one again. I'm thinking about the Mavic Mini or something small, just to pop up.
Something small.
Yeah. Just
some of those were really cool. Like them laying on the board, the boardwalky looking areas or like on a deck and like overhead and.
They're great. Drones are awesome. Like, you know what it is now though, is like all the videographers have them. So, you know, if you're at a wedding, you got to deal with the videographer popping his drone up and then your drone up. And then like, they're also a liability and like, I'd have to get my, you know, 107 and stuff like that. So, it's just, and yeah, actually in New York, I think you have to have extra liability insurance to fly them at a wedding. So I'm like, you know, if I get one, I'd probably pop them up at an engagement session, you know, just because.
That's where I kind of was looking and seeing some of that stuff is engaged.
Yeah. You know, like I've popped them up once or twice, but, like not in a while. I have to get my hands on another one soon. I saw the Mavic Air 2 came out and,
yeah, looks pretty sweet.
I've been out of the loop with drones for a while, for a while, guys. I have to get back into it. I used to love them. I used to love to fly them.
That's something we'll have to talk about at some point. We haven't done a drone episode yet, so
yeah, we will. I think
that'd be pretty cool.
Tune into that one. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Adam's a great drone pilot. I know that.
Yeah, Joe's got his 107 too. So we're both.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah.
All right, Michael. Anything else you want to share here with everyone before we finish up?
No, guys, you know, I appreciate the time. I will tell anyone who's listening that maybe is getting into the industry or, you know, getting into weddings, like, don't worry about it if you're starting off and you're having trouble, like, and you're struggling at first. Everybody has a struggle, right? This industry, like anything else, if you want to be a photographer, just keep plugging, keep shooting. That's what I tell everybody. Just the more you shoot, the better you get, right? So don't give up on it. If this is something you want to do, if you truly want to do it, keep attacking it. Keep shooting. Ask to shoot for another photographer. Ask to carry their bags. Ask to be a lighting assistant. Do anything you can if this is something you really want. And, you know, don't stop working towards that goal. 100%.
I love it. It's great.
That's huge. Yeah, that's big because it's hard to sometimes keep the steam. You got to do it.
100%.
Well, cool.
Well, thanks, Michael, for coming on. I'm going to close us out here with our usual stuff. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You can find us on YouTube at InFocus Videocast. Please click subscribe. Tell your friends, family, everybody. Click like, subscribe, all of those things. We're also on iTunes, Spotify, and all your favorite podcast locations at InFocus Videocast. If you want to take us on the go so that way you don't have to have a watch on YouTube. We'd love to hear any questions, feedback, anything you got for us on that at InFocusVideocast@gmail.com. So send some stuff our way. But obviously do want to thank Michael for taking the time to chat with us about wedding photography today. I thank you again, fun. Really thank you. It was very insightful for me to kind of hear your progression of how you got into it and how you do your job on a daily basis and some tips and tricks, hopefully for folks who are interested in making wedding photography their go-to.
Well, thanks guys. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for coming on.
Awesome. Well, until next time, everyone, thanks for tuning in and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.